This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
Now, our guest is Richard Culotta, appointed back in January as Rhode Island's very first Chief Innovation Officer. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you left a senior position with the U.S. Department of Education. Is education your very first focus in Rhode Island, and if not, where?
So certainly a key, and by the way, key to any innovation initiative, I believe, is largely connected to education, right? Providing new opportunities for learning in all kinds of spaces. But because it's also what I was just doing, it's a natural fit. So the first project that we launched in partnership with the Rhode Island Department of Ed is the Computer Science for Rhode Island initiative. But as we move forward, we'll be looking at a variety of other places as well, from how we recruit talent to some things on the healthcare side, and also just in how we do government in general.
A big discussion across the board from all employers in the state is, you know, is the skills gap, getting the right talent. And in the case of innovation, you're not just looking for smart, warm bodies; you're looking for a certain kind of thinkers, right? How do you go about doing that, and how do you make that sort of a key piece of how the government functions in general?
Yeah, so this idea of recruiting really top talent is key. And unfortunately, what happens sometimes in state is, and this is all states, right? There's maybe a website where we post a paragraph or two description and kind of just hope people stumble into these really key positions. And in a business, you wouldn't do that. So part of it is thinking about, how do we do that? How do we find really, really fantastic people to come in and join a team that is actually already very, there's great talented people as well. It's not like we don't have really good teams in the state, but we need to make sure we're bringing in the right talent.
How do you identify, you're the Chief Innovation Officer, how do you identify innovations that are appropriate, that can be made, that can stick? You know, I mean, it's one thing to be a change agent, but you know, you may be out of a job in a year if there's a rebellion. So how do you do that?
So it's interesting. I actually, my approach is that if I do this right, I will work myself out of a job, right? It is one of those cases that the goal is to bring a culture of innovation to the state, not to have it be me that's doing all of that work. So three things that we look at, particularly when we're looking at what areas we want to focus on. The first is it something that we can get done quickly? There are a lot of great ideas where, you know, in 10 years we can conquer this, you know, massive hard challenge. And it's not that we shouldn't be thinking 10 years out, but what we're looking to do is say, where can we actually take on a challenge and really get it done in a short timeline? You know, 6 months to a year kind of max is kind of what we're looking at. That's the first thing. The second thing is every initiative that we take on, we do with a partner. I worked for a while for the Central Intelligence Agency, and we created a center of mission innovation there, right? It was a little office off to the side where we did really cool, innovative projects. And what happened was it actually, in some ways, lowered the amount of innovation that was happening in other parts of the agency. Because people would say, oh, innovation, look, you go look at it over in the corner, we'll just do what we've always done over here. And so it was actually took a step backwards in some ways. So part of what we're saying here is, anything that we take on, we do as a support behind the agency or the nonprofit partner or the private sector business partner that's working with us on it. And then the third thing is we look for opportunities that can be solved through a non-traditional approach. So government's interesting. There's that old saying, you know, to hammer, everything starts to look like a nail. The hammer in government is policy and regulations. And incredibly important. We have to be very thoughtful about our policy. But often we go and grab that hammer when there's a whole bunch of other approaches that could be used. So for example, a non-traditional approach might be what we did with the Computer Science Initiative, where we said, let's just create a memorandum of understanding, an MOU, where we do a public-private partnership and agree to work on a project together across the business community and the state. Another new approach would be maybe doing a challenge or a prize to find a good solution, as opposed to, again, using policy.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. We're speaking with Richard Culotta, the state's first Chief Innovation Officer. State government has a lot of moving parts, and as you move toward collaboration and you get X number of type A competitive people in a room, some perhaps very protective of their particular agencies and fiefdoms, how do you get them to cooperate?
So one of the things that's really helpful is using data. it's not about your way or my way. It's like, how do we address this particular data that we're looking at? And I don't think we have enough data. We don't have enough data-driven decision-making in government. So part of what we do is we just say, how can we get information in front of people that need to be providing those solutions? And also a second piece of that is, how can we involve citizens in that process, right? So it's not only that, you know, this is my department and I run this is your department, but actually say, hey, together, can we open this up for a challenge, for a hackathon, for some sort of an approach where we invite citizens to come in and provide those solutions? And it helps diffuse that it's mine, it's yours, it's all of ours. We all got to figure these problems out, and we can do it collaboratively.
It's only 3 months, but, you know, have you found data sets yet that are sort of starting to inform what you want to do?
Yeah, sure. So a couple examples. So one, I mentioned it a couple times, but it's because it's sort of our first big initiative. When we looked at, why did we start with computer science? Well, the reason we started there is because we had like 40 students in the state that had passed the AP computer science test, right? That's horrendously bad. And, you know, I think Guam is worse, right? But like we're pretty low on the stack. Yet we have some of the top researchers, leaders in the country on teaching computer science right here in our higher ed institutions at Brown, at URI, at RIC, right? And we weren't taking advantage of them. So that was a great opportunity where that data actually could inform why we should take on that approach. So that's one example. Looking at another example right now around connectivity. We have a gap to be able to close some of our connectivity, the connectivity gap that we have in the state. We have far too many low-income families that don't have internet connectivity at home. We have schools that are paying far too much for connectivity to the classroom. And that's key because connectivity is not just a nice to have. It's an infrastructure that actually allows you to build a culture of innovation, a city of innovation. It allows you to have opportunities. So that's another data set that we're looking at, is how do we close that gap in connectivity?
Rhode Island culture, and I speak as a native, Rhode Island culture can sometimes be very insular. How do you get people to look at a broader picture?
Yeah, it's a good question. And that's everywhere. I mean, I know Rhode Island sometimes can be known for that, but I think that's in all places. And part of it is back to that idea of involving the community. And, you know, when you talk about something like computer science or smart cities at a high level, and even looking at the data, which is key for the decision makers, that's not super compelling for somebody who doesn't see how that affects them. Telling the story of the individual whose life can be transformed because we're trying things different ways can buy people into a process in a really compelling way. We need to do a much better job of saying, look at what happens when you try something a different way and see what the benefits are. And we have to look at data, but as important as the data is, we can't step away from the value of telling stories.
What do you see as the process from an innovative idea into reality?
Yes, so there's actually a whole variety of tools that we could use. There isn't a single process. It is key, though. I'd actually say it starts before my office, and it starts with idea sourcing is what we call it, where we're looking for good ideas from people who see where there are problems and there are solutions. Innovation is interesting because often the people closest to the problem are the ones that have the best ideas for solution, not even necessarily the head of the agency or the president of the company. And so finding ways to pull those ideas in, that's the first part. And then what we do is we look around and try to say, how can we check and see, you know, can it be done quickly? Can we partner, those things I talked about before? And after we feel like it's, you know, it's an idea that seems like we could get it done and it makes sense, then we look at the whole variety of options. We look at, does it involve legislation? Can it be addressed through a challenge? Could it be done through a series of partnerships? Sometimes one of the most powerful tools that government has is the power of a neutral convener, just bringing people together and saying, this is an urgent issue. You're working on this from a business side. You're working on this from a policy side. You're working on it from a research side. And you've never talked to each other before. Now's the time to talk because we need to solve this, right? That's a very powerful tool. So we look at what those tools are and we kind of play match.com between the tools and the potential solutions.
Okay, we'll have to wrap it up and let you go back and innovate. Rhode Island Chief Innovation Officer Richard Colata has been the guest on The Bottom Line. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great as always to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.